We now go to TJ Cotterill from the Tacoma News Tribune. A couple of games to talk about tonight. Puyallup and Curtis, let's start with that one. How you doing, TJ?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Doing well, man. You got some great basketball to follow on a weekly basis down there.
If I wasn't trying to follow the reclassification stuff all this week,
I know, it's busy, wasn't it?
Take some days off just to be able to figure out what's all going on there. And obviously, it's going to look a lot different next year. So,
well, yeah,
you get the last games of this league season in before everything is just wiped away and you get a clean slate.
You know, now that you mention it, I was going to bring that up, but you're exactly the person to talk about it. I've just read basically what you wrote already, so we might as well have you kind of break it down. And I think the main change that I can see down in that area, in the South Sound area, is the rebirth of the NPSL. I mean, I was a sophomore in high school when the NPSL went poof, and we were actually in the NPSL for my first couple years of high school, and then we moved on to the Seamount League. But the NPSL is going to be back, the North Puget Sound League, and it's going to be a huge conference.
16 teams will be in that league. And just to be clear, it's actually a separate league. A lot of people got confused on this because you have the SPSL right now, which is basically you have a 4A, 3A, and 2A SPSL. But in the 4A, you currently have a Northeast, a Northwest, and a South Division, but it's all part of the same league.
Mm-hmm.
This NPSL, North Puget Sound League, will be its own league entirely, and they will have two divisions within that. They haven't decided yet what those two divisions are going to be, but 16 teams, and it's really crazy, I think, about it, is only four of those 16 teams are actually true 4A teams. So you had 22 teams or schools opt up to the 4A level, and of those 22, 12 of them are going to be in the NPSL next year with the Auburn schools, Federal Way schools. Enumclaw opted up just to be able to have the easier travel of being in that league.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy to think about all the opt-ups that happen, and you see it right there, and especially in the West Central District, this district in the South Puget Sound area, the South Sound. All of the moving and opt-ups, most all of it anyway, happened in this district and certainly in the NPSL.
Now,
so you got that.
There needs to be about the same amount of teams in each classification, though, right?
Well, yeah. So you have to have 55 teams in each classification, except for the 1B and 2B, which each has 62. So that's why if a school opts up to 4A, that bumps the school down. So if you think about it, there's 22 opt-ups to 4A. So schools like Enumclaw and Auburn and Auburn Mountain, Auburn Riverside, all are saying, we don't want to be 3A, we'll be 4A.
Right.
And being a bigger classification. That means there's 22 schools that should have been 4A that are now in 3A. So you think about that one, schools like Garfield and Timberline would easily be a 4A school, but were pushed to 3A because of all these opt-ups.
Interesting. Now, what if they didn't want to move down to 3A? They all wanted to stay
in 4A. Well, it actually happened in Cascade of Everett. They were pushed down to 3A because Enumclaw opted up, which actually Enumclaw would be the second smallest 3A school if it was dated 3A, but it moves up to 4A just so it'd be able to travel the Auburns and the Kings of the world.
Right.
But so that moved Cascade of Everett down to 3A, and the next day they just said, well, we'll opt up to 4A. So
interesting.
It got to the point where the school said, hey, okay, if you want to push to 3A, we'll stay in 3A. And the schools that wanted to be 4A just opted back up to 4A.
Interesting.
So,
got it.
That's how you saw that play out.
That's a great breakdown. Great breakdown. It's going to be a lot of fun to see that NPSL back. And let's go to the SPSL now. Puyallup and Curtis, tell us about it.
Well, Ashanti Pontes-Wood scored his 28th point tonight on a free throw with about 8 seconds left. And they won the game 84-80. So that gives them a three-game lead over Puyallup in league standings with three games to go. And they beat Puyallup twice already. So they've essentially clinched over Puyallup with that win, which those are the two top dogs we knew of coming into the season. And both wins are pretty close for Curtis. Now Curtis actually improves to 9-0 in league play and 16-1 overall. Their only loss came in that Under Armour Holiday Classic in California. Curtis looking really, really good. Actually, bit of a surprise team to think about the start of the season. We knew Federal Way was going to be super good. We thought teams like Lewis and Clark and Central Valley and Richland would be good and Gonzaga Prep. But mm-hmm. Curtis, I mean, they just keep rolling and rolling. And Ashanti Pontes-Woods, he came in this game averaging over 20 points a game and tonight had 28. And he's been remarkable for them. What he can do as a combo guard and can play a little bit down low, a lefty guy. I mean, it reminds a lot of people around here of a guy like James Harden-ish. And mean, he certainly got Piop off to a really, I mean, I should say the wrong Vikings, the blue Vikings, off to a really, really good start this season.
And he's going, do we know yet where he's going?
No, I was actually just thinking about that. I was thinking we should be asking him, Kelly, what his plans are for next year. He's really caught fire mostly this year. Last year, I mean, geez, he was actually the league MVP last year too. And I think this summer he got some traction just with AAU ball and obviously what he's doing for school ball this year. I wouldn't be surprised to see if he gets some really, really decent offers this year.
How does Curtis compare to Federal Way, a couple teams you've seen?
Curtis is a lot smaller. I mean, they don't have a 6'9" guy who can jump out of the gym like Jalen McDaniels. But you know, the Curtis will play you full court. They'll press you the entire game, as Tim Kelly's teams are known to be doing. They bring in like basically a NASCAR crew off the bench, he always calls them, just guys who he just wants to bring in energy and play fast. And Federal Way is going to be the highlight reel. You're going to see a lot of dunks out of them, but they can still set up in the half court and bang you down low. They got a transfer from Mount Rainier, who was a first-team All-League player last year, Malcolm Pola. So he's playing for him. You got Jalen McDaniels and Christian Jones. When you have that lineup, that actually puts Jalen at the three. So you think of a 6'9" guy playing at guard for Federal Way. They can certainly play a lot bigger. But Curtis, I mean, if they're able to force turnovers, they're able to play fast like they want to, there's not many teams they can't beat.
And so Curtis with the win tonight, and Federal Way took on Kentwood tonight. Kentwood, a solid team right there on the just barely on the outside looking into the top 10, trying to knock off the number one team in state. How'd that go?
Well, actually, it was Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, Federal Way came out of that one, and you know, we just talked about McDaniels. He had about 30, I think it was 35 points, 16 rebounds in that game. And we just got to talk about Steve right before we got on here, and it seemed like, yeah, he had about 16 dunks in that game. Yeah, Federal Way, they're really rolling because they also just came off a win over Corona del Sol in the when they went to the VisitMesa.com tournament in Arizona. Now the team they lost to last year. So think about it, how good they were last year, and they come back and beat that team this year. So, yeah, they're looking every bit as good as they were last year.
Beautiful. All right, man, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Thanks.
You bet. TJ Cotterill from the Tacoma News Tribune.